The showstopper.
Sexy.
The main event.
HBK.
The icon, Shawn Michaels, battles Ken Shamrock for the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
DX can play anyone for a sucker!
Triple H.
There's one piece of artillery I'm not gonna use.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley battles Sergeant Slaughter.
I'm gonna save that for your old lady. And it's the big...
Cowgirl.
Degeneration X.
I want you.
That's a sickening.
You.
How low will these human beings do?
Come play with me.
Degeneration X rules the wrestling.
Degeneration X.
Degenerate me.
Break his head.
Degenerate is a disease. Just got time. Do what you're supposed to do. That's the brakes, boy. Yeah. That's the brakes of the man.
It's December 7th, 1997. Nickelodeon airs the last episode of Real Monsters the night before this pay-per-view. Diddy Kong is racing his way into our hearts on the N64, and in the WWF, they are trying to put a fucking cap on 97 with probably one of the worst pay-per-views of the year. This is the Federation. I'm Tyler Fudge, and this is episode number 203, WWF In Your House 19, Degeneration X. And I am with my brother,
Travis Fudge. Yeah, he didn't forget about me.
I did, but I came back around to it.
Oh, I know you didn't. You didn't even stop. No stops. No fucking stops.
This train don't fucking stop for nobody. Because on Twitter, you can follow us, the Federation. You can follow Travis on Twitter.
Do I even need to say
Fudging
it?
Fudging
I don't know, like...
Right?
This train keeps rolling, Tyler.
This train does keep rolling, and if you don't hop on quick, you get left the fuck behind.
I got left behind by the owner of the podcast.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Fudge Podcast, t-shirts at whatamaneuver.net. You become a member of the Fudge family by joining the Patreon or giving us a little donation on PayPal, which is fudgepodcast@gmail.com.
The Fud Club.
Yeah, the Fud Club. What a stupid name that was. Anyways, from the musically inclined side of the family, Wooly Fudge, our brother from another mother, Scotty Rod Fudge. He wants to be called father, but not for a dollar. Trox Fudge, the intergalactic brother, Fat Superman Fudge. Our doe-eyed cousins from down under, Corey and Trevor Fudge.
Smokes, let's go.
Our brother with the biggest cock.
Roaches.
Savage Fudge. And his future is so bright, he's only 7% other metals. The Sterling Silver Fudge. So with that being said, boom, the song is done, as you can hear the crackling in the background.
Mitch, kudos, buddy. What a ripping cover of the DX theme.
And he was a little self-conscious about the cover.
I like the crunchy guitars.
Exactly.
I thought the crunchy guitars were a nice little touch.
It was. There is some crunch in the DX song, but not that much. And I
enough
love myself
crunch
some
for
crunch.
Me to kind of like really think that the song was edgy when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And close enough to the vocalist from Rage Against the Machine that you thought they were cool.
A lot like Zach De La Roca, yeah.
And then they played it live and you realize, oh,
ooh,
this
Connecticut
this
Yankee, you fucking stink live. But which one was worse, Tyler? Downstate at Revolution? Or Connecticut Yankee at WrestleMania 14.
Okay, I would say Connecticut Yankee is worse because, like, talent-wise, they were worse, whereas Downstate just, it seemed like the whole setup was not meant for music.
Yeah.
So I would say Connecticut
Yankee.
Yeah,
I guess so, and they did two songs at WrestleMania 2. They did America the Beautiful, and apparently it's horrendous.
Is there a copy of it anywhere?
Yeah.
There is?
Yeah, I think it's only on the VHS rip, though.
Not
the VHS, live rip, sorry, Tyler, because it's on the pre-show, I believe.
God damn. That sounds like a whole bunch of nothing. nobody ever wants to hear that again. It's been a while since we have been live, since the snafu last week.
or 0.10 yeah, megabytes 0.5, download.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was absolutely garbage. But we're here. We're back. We're ready to just give you quality live entertainment.
Tyler, we are
live and loud.
Woo! Yes, and with that being said, should we just dive into the show? Do you have anything you want to say beforehand?
No, I don't think so, Tyler. No.
There you go. Well, let's start the show off by talking a little bit about a big riot in Little Rock. So, now this hasn't happened since, you know, before Degeneration X the pay-per-view. But when else are we going to get a chance to talk about this? This is a week later, okay? On December 15th, 1997, the same night that Austin throws the Intercontinental title over the bridge, Owen has a killer promo against Vince McMahon. And Vince coins the Attitude Era in a backstage segment.
Cure for the common show.
Yes. So this, though, this took place, I don't know where it was taped, but it was not taped in Little Rock, Arkansas, where 6,000 fans packed into the Barton Coliseum thinking they were going to get an episode of Raw because it was advertised as WWF Raw television taping locally. There were two billboards throughout the city that clearly stated Raw taping. And there was also a radio interview with Rocky Maivia where he too mentions how excited he is for tonight's Raw in Little Rock. Now, safe to say, the 6,000 people in attendance were very excited to get Raw in this hot time that they were. Imagine the show that they would have gotten. Instead, they get this house show. And as soon as they walk in, they know. You know, there's one eyewitness that says he walks in, sees the blue aprons, sees the curtain. There's no Tron. He immediately knew this wasn't a Raw taping. Now, on this show, they had given Danny Hodge an award, and the crowd booed the ever-living piss out of him. Kane defeated Chains. The Undertaker wrestled The Rock in a non-title IC match in a casket match.
The Rock?
The Rock.
So this was before or after? Oh, The Raw was probably taped that aired that night.
It was.
Right. Okay.
The Raw was
sense.
Taped that aired that night.
So they had a chance to use the talent that was on the show.
Yeah.
Fair
yeah.
enough. Okay, yeah. cool. Cool. I was about to say, that would be a shitty fucking taping.
Oh,
or
can
shitty
you imagine?
House show. If yeah. you didn't have Rock, Stone Cold,
didn't
you didn't
even
have
Los
anybody.
Barriquas.
Didn't even have the Barriquas. The Barriquas is on the fucking A-team. B.A. Barriquas.
So all these matches that I've basically listed so far have been under 10 minutes, okay? After the casket match, there were paper being thrown, food, and bottles. And to add a fucking kicker to this, the venue sold glass bottles of beer.
Oof.
Degeneration X makes their way down for the main event, and it's supposed to be against Stone Cold and Dude Love in a tag team match. HBK gets hit with some paper. He takes a live mic. He told the crowd, and this is an exact quote, "Due to your immature bullshit, the show is over." Fights break out. Okay, with security. There's 6,000 people there. Guess how many security guards?
One.
20. Still, 6,000 on 20. It's pretty fucking horrendous, okay? So, one account states that a fan rips off a security guard's shirt and set it on fire.
December 15th, 1997, there was a riot in fucking Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to do a little riff on that Sublime song or whatever.
Oh, I don't know what the Sublime song is.
It's a song about the Rodney King riots.
Oh, I only know one song by Sublime, and it's Santeria.
So that's fair.
That's it. I've never really been into them. Yeah. But still, there should have been some foresight about this, okay? Because what
a lot of people don't talk about is that the same thing happened the night before in Memphis, Tennessee. Not the riot, but they had to cancel the main event because the crowd was too raucous.
This is some what the fuck WCW stuff.
It really is. It really is.
Like, I'm starting to have these like weird Vietnam flashbacks of us doing the 89 arc, yeah. Where they did
the gas leak in Halifax.
The Canada tour. Yes, the Canada tour. Oh, what a train wreck that was. And what a train wreck this is as well.
Yeah.
They are no better than their counterpart right now, that they are saying that they're so much better than, you know, the Cure for their common show bullshit that Vince is trying to shove down your throats. Yeah, I don't like that.
No,
how in the fuck
dirty.
Do you get that mixed up? You can't have...
You don't. You're just trying to make sure people come to the show.
Oh, that's, you know, slimy, I mean, as fuck.
Now, I have some quotes from people that were there. Okay? One quote says, chairs are being thrown, bottles and garbage. Smoke began rising from the floor down below. We were in the top level. Years later, I would learn that the fires that were being started were by the fans. And after it all calmed down, we went down ringside and asked one security guard if we can get a pic in front of the ring. And we were granted it. It was the most memorable event I've ever gone to, with it being my first and a riot breaking out. Another person, Reddit user MGTL, said, we realized we'd stayed too long when a roll of flaming toilet paper came from the second level.
Dude, you imagine all the shit falling down?
Dude, it's unreal. It's crazy. And then the last quote is from Jim Cornette. Normal
motherfucker.
Night. Normal night in Little Rock for Mid-South Wrestling. Another case of Shawn Michaels being a pussy and causing shit.
I like how on the same night, this would have been December 15th, that Shawn says that the show is over. That Vince calls him the self-proclaimed showstopper on Raw.
Ooh,
before his
ding,
Owen Hart
ding,
promo.
Ding, because he definitely, two nights in a row, he stopped the main event the night before. And you know how shows, the same thing going the whole ways through, right? It's the way wrestling wants to be, you know, just go town to town doing the same match.
Double duty was a thing too. I think that they eliminated the whole two shows in one day thing at this point.
Probably. I haven't heard much about it, you know, going through the Observer, so I assume it's done. So yeah, that is that's the hook, line, and sinker from last week to bring you over to this week's show, talking about the riots in Little Rock. And that's basically all there is to say about these riots. I mean, what else are you going to say? We have fan accounts, what happened, the card, everything as to why it happened. Boom. What else do you want to know about the riots? Because I didn't know they existed until about 2 months ago.
It's pretty awesome.
I
like it.
And I sent Travis a picture of the riots.
Photo's good.
It's
like
a good
smoke
photo.
And shit like that.
Yeah,
it's all chaotic. There's like chairs in the ring.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But from there, we might as well touch on the only other bit of news that I have, and that is the light heavyweight tournament that took place throughout the month of November and December, leading its way to the finals being here tonight against Taka Michinoku and Brian Christopher, which is, I believe, second match on the card.
First. It's the opener.
Oh, it is the first match? Yeah. So we had members like Aguila, which is obviously S.A. Rios.
Aguila.
Super Loco.
That's super crazy.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fucking dope. Taka Michinoku took on Devin Storm, Crowbar. Eric Shelley doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Alex Shelley's dad.
Is it? No. You could have had me too.
You ripped me?
Yeah. He took on Scott Taylor. And
Scotty
then,
too hottie.
Yeah. Brian Christopher took on Flash Flanagan.
Flash Funk's white brother.
Obviously. This would lead to Aguila taking on Taka Michinoku and Scott Taylor. And Brian Christopher, they would go on to be too sexy.
No, too much.
Too much, right. Yes, you're right, too much. And what would their name be when they were Grandmaster Sexy and Scotty Too Hot?
Too Cool.
Too Cool, right.
They were called Too Much because it was Too Hot Scott Taylor
and too sexy
Brian
Christopher.
It wasn't a bad tag team, but you knew that they didn't give a fuck about it.
Of course.
Mid-98. They of were course. Done with Brian Christopher.
Of course. Pritchard also says that they were in talks for Stevie Richards for the tournament, but it never materialized. He would go back to WCW or ECW after a short stint. Oh, much better for him. He also...
He would have had good matches with probably Brian. I don't know about Taka, but he'd probably have a good match with Brian Christopher.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah,
he doesn't fit Scott what they're Taylor trying to too. Do, though, in no. the light heavyweight division.
I mean, what are they trying to do in the light heavyweight division, Travis?
Make Taka a star.
I suppose.
They're trying to make Brian and Taka a star.
I was going
to
say, I hope you weren't going to say compete with WCW's cruiserweight division, because that it does not.
No, I just think that they thought that Taka was the best thing that they could get close to Rey Mysterio.
Well, I mean, Bruce Pritchard would state that was...
And he would almost state that he was better than Rey, and Conrad would fuck off, Bruce. Yeah, fuck off. Bruce.
Don't give me that shit. And then Bruce would backpedal and say it's the best we could get. And also, in that respect, I don't think that's true either.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It was the best... I'm sure one person scouted him, right?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. But Sasuke, Pritchard says, was a prima donna.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, which I don't know. It's Sasuke. Of course he's a prima donna. He's a goddamn legend in Japan. But, look at all the Japanese guys you could have had.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to really take your light heavyweight division seriously, you would have tried to get tooth and nail Jushin Liger.
Yeah.
If he didn't have 100%. A brain tumor at this point.
Oh, yeah, but he would be back. I think he's back.
Yes, he came back in 96 with the brain tumor.
Yeah, he's already back. So
fuck a Jushin Liger,
yes, but, again, who knows how long his contract was in New Japan. But they've already got the working relationship with WCW.
Fuck, that's true.
Right?
Why do they got to ruin things? Misawa, even though he's kind of, chubby and he can't be a light heavyweight.
Doesn't matter. Bring him in.
The Hayabusa?
Yeah, FMW, Hayabusa. He's going to ECW here pretty soon.
Yeah,
so
in about 6 months.
You already let fucking Shinzaki go.
I mean, if they really, really wanted to, they should have just, put RVD in it and made him, the star of it.
Keep your working relationship going with ECW.
And
boom.
Then you could have had
right there.
So many.
Jerry Lynn.
So many good cruiserweights.
They could have realized that fucking Justin Credible is better than Aldo Montoya. You know, even though he's not much, don't get me wrong, Justin Credible.
But he's
great.
He's more adaptable to the audience if he's Justin Credible rather than Aldo Montoya.
Not a fake.
Same thing with Al Snow.
Yep.
Much more adaptable to the audience when he's Al Snow and not Leaf Cassidy.
100%. So you could have had a great light heavyweight division if you would have just kept up with ECW. But hey, this is what we got. It's not great, but hey.
They just got Triple A.
Triple A, yeah. And they don't even use, they barely use anybody.
No, they used them for a bit in lukewarm reaction. The whole thing, Vince gets tired after 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. But, again, this is D-Generation X. It's December 7th, 1997. From Springfield, Massachusetts, in the Springfield Civic Center. There's 6,358 people on attendance, and that's the exact same amount of people that were at the Little Rock, Arkansas show.
When you first showed me that image, I thought that was the in-your-house apron taken off, and there was another apron underneath, and there was a riot after this show.
Oh, no, no.
It's like, we fucking hate Owen Hart.
Fuck that nugget. They would make $112,864 at the gate, with $44,000 being spent at the merch tables. Pay-per-view buy rate of 0.4. Travis?
167,000.
120. You're getting closer.
I had a few off weeks.
You had a few off
Starcade
weeks.
Starcade was a really bad week.
It was. I should have given you a second shot at Starcade.
You should have. You didn't. the DX buy rate, that's a really bad buy rate.
Yeah, it's not a good one. But it's also December. Their buy rates are never great in December. You know what I mean? It's
especially with Sean and Ken as your main event.
Yeah. And the rest of this card, Sergeant Slaughter and Triple H. No, thank you.
Awful.
Awful indeed. Awful indeed.
It's a really bad show.
It's the two most boring wrestlers.
Not a bad show, but it's the WWF equivalent of Sold Out.
Yeah, it's a throwaway show. There's nothing really happening.
I like
at all.
The new things that they're doing. I like the new backstage interview setup.
Yeah.
I like the DX entrance.
Yeah, it was a great entrance.
That's cool. I like that.
Even though looking back at it now, I realize that the D was just a cardboard cutout, and that kind of disappoints me a little bit.
I think that they had all the leftover steel bars from the Bad Blood in Your House setup. So they just kind of made it into an X, and they were like, cardboard cutout, the D. We can't form steel into a curve.
No.
What are we talking about here? We're no fucking magicians.
You can't heat up metal like that. Come on. Give me a break.
What is this, some goddamn witchcraft, pal?
You know spells. Can you grant me the spell to got people to stop sneezing? I fucking hate it.
Tyler always needs to be the last one to do impressions.
Sorry. I hear an impression, and I just got to go with it. I love it. I love it. But we might as well get into this show. Very DX-like intro. Very green. Lots of sexual innuendos. Triple H gets called Triple X. You know, those kinds of things. I wonder what's bigger, his nose or his dick.
I don't know, man.
We'll never know. We'll never know. You got anything to say about the intro? Anything more insightful than the ponderings of
I think you pondered about it a lot more than I did.
It's very possible. You know, sometimes I do like to sit and ponder, but hey, this show, though, it does kick off the theme-based wrestler pay-per-views that would go on for the next 2 years. DX and Rock Bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And then we would get Armageddon.
And that would stay.
For 4 or 5 years, eh? Because it would go to New Year's Resolution.
No.
Oh, no, that would be the SmackDown pay-per-view or the Raw pay-per-view.
That would be the... That would be the second pay-per-view in January that was a Raw exclusive.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Armageddon would last until about
05? 08. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
About 08. And then they did a rebrand in 09 on all the pay-per-views, and then we got Bragging Rights and Fatal 4-Way.
Ooh.
Yeah.
TLC and chairs.
Hell in a Cell. Yeah. You know. You know now.
Yep. You know, and like... I just like
Armageddon lasted 9 years.
Could be, yeah.
No, yeah, it did. So 1999 to 2008.
Okay. I didn't know we were dead set that it was 2008, but now it was dead set.
7. Because 2001 did not have an Armageddon. It was Vengeance. So we had a Vengeance in December of 2001 and July of 2002.
That's what we kicked off the...
And shut your mouth. Yeah. Because we didn't do King of the Ring.
No. Yeah. We started with Vengeance. What were you going to say about Shut Your Mouth?
SmackDown Shut Your Mouth had both Vengeance setups because they had too many Vengeance pay-per-views in 1 year.
I never realized they had two Vengeance setups. Fair enough. So we might as well get into this first match. Taka Michinoku and Brian Christopher. This is for the new light heavyweight title. Debuting light heavyweight title.
It's an illustrious title. I mean, greats like Tiger Mask 1, Satoru Siyama, who is Tiger Mask 1, and Dynamite Kid, they've held the title.
Yep.
Ultimo Dragon, I think, held it underneath the J crown.
He did.
So,
but they will not acknowledge it.
Illustrious. Fucking illustrious title.
But there's no history, though.
There should be.
There should be, but there's no history.
Could you imagine being like, oh, yeah, that guy from the British Bulldogs that you really liked?
Yeah.
He held this title.
Yeah.
What about that guy that looks like a tiger? He held the title, too.
They'll make a cartoon out of him in a few years. But no, it's a brand. The winner of this becomes the first ever light heavyweight, WWF light heavyweight champion, and that boggles my mind. It blows my mind. But I do like, and I don't know if this is because looking back on it now, and I'm not hearing it week in, week out, but the Jerry's Kid thing really, really does it for me.
You like it?
I like that. I don't like how much it took away from the match, because that's really all they spoke about.
I think if they decided to kind of cut it back on commentary and let the crowd go.
Yeah, the crowd would have told it. The crowd knew.
Because, you know... If Brian's getting heat, let him fucking get heat. He's really not that bad. He is one of, you know, it's like one of these things where I'm like shuffling a deck and I've got my good tier and I got my bad tier, and I'm shuffling it from what I used to think and what I think now.
Yeah, like, he's not on the
headbangers are going down.
Yep.
Fucking Brian's up. Can Am's up.
Yeah.
You know, all this kind of stuff. Sean's down always. He fucking sucks. Huh? I can't believe people think that Sean was like the greatest of all time.
I mean, like,
I don't get it. He's an awful promo.
I don't either.
Awful promo.
Yeah, I don't like his promos. Now, in the future, his promos will be a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, too, and after that.
Yeah, that, and there's an argument to be said that redeems it. You know what I mean? But if you going from his career in the 80s to now, I wouldn't. If it ended then, no. Post then, there's an argument, yes.
If you asked me before I was like 22 years old, if Sean in the 90s was better than Sean in the 2000s, I would have said yes, easily.
Yeah. He's wrestling, yeah. He's great wrestler.
I don't think he's better, though.
He might not be better, but I think on par, for sure.
I think he's better in all aspects post-02, or post-back injury, I'll say. But yeah, he's had good matches, but we've had a bad showing this year.
Yeah.
Him getting frustrated, getting mad with Vader, the power outage, getting mad with the cameraman.
Yeah.
All of his lack of appearances. I don't know. Yeah. This has just been a bad stigma on Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, maybe if we had started it earlier and gone through some of the new generation and seeing him mix with the rest of the schlubs, it would have been
and
like,
be the shining star of all the schlubs.
Yeah, that might have changed things a little bit, and this is just a little bit of the downfall, but this is from April of 96 till December of 97. It's not a good Shawn Michaels at all. Not even a little bit.
And it's supposed to be the best.
Yeah. Now, he's had some great matches. Yeah. He has.
The Mankind match is
it's fantastic.
No joke. It's a great match.
Yeah. Yeah.
His match with Bulldog, they were good.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there was one match with Vader that was really good.
SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Yeah, besides Ram getting pissed off, it was good.
Yeah.
And kicking Vader right in the skull.
Yeah.
That was pretty rude.
Pretty rude, yeah.
He even had a good match with Diesel. The first show that we ever watched for this arc.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was the first WF show that we watched.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Where he takes Mad Dog Vachon's leg.
Oh, my fuck, yes. Right. I totally forgot about that. But back to this match. Taka, he does some flying to hit the signature moves, you know, a springboard to the outside. Brian then attempts to match this, and he dives face first into the barricade. It's just great heel work. It's fantastic.
Busts himself open.
He does. Busts his face open.
Good. It was perfect for this match.
Yeah, because he does that laugh. He's got that smile and see his mouth all bloody. It's a good visual.
Did you notice on the network that they dubbed over Brian's theme for Draws' theme?
I knew it wasn't the sultry tones of Brian. Yeah, I knew it wasn't that, but I didn't realize it was Draws' theme. Didn't realize that at all.
Yeah. Or Man Mountain Rock.
Oh, is that the same theme?
Well, he played boom, on boom, his doom. WF guitar.
Fucking hell. Oh. But no, Christopher would go up for a Tennessee Jam. Taka rolls out of the way. Taka then hits a Michinoku driver, and he would pick up the win. Now, I might have skipped over some stuff, but I mean,
that's okay. I liked Brian hit a picture-perfect Liger Bomb in this match.
Beautiful power bomb.
The move that Kenny Omega always hits on people where he does the shotgun drop kick off the top rope to the back of the skull.
Oh, yeah.
Brian does that to Taka. It was great. We had a rocker dropper. And as Tyler said, too, the cocky smiling, like laughing like a hyena with the blood coming out of his mouth was a great visual.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what made this match stand out above the rest on this show for me. I am going to say match of the night.
I mean, I can't fault you for saying it at all. You know, it's probably match of the night.
I thought it was really good. If you over-deliver on a match that you don't expect much from, then I would say that you've done your fucking job right there. And that's what they did. I didn't think that Taka and Brian were going to have a spectacular match at all. I thought it was going to be 2 stars on the Dave Meltzer Aspie scale, but...
To me, I felt going into this that I've seen Taka Michinoku and Brian Christopher wrestle so many times. But then I search it up, and this is like the only footage of any match that they ever had.
You should have looked on Cage Match.
I did. I could not find anything. Really? Cage Match is also really hard to use in that aspect when you're trying to find matches. I find it very difficult. But hey, whatever, it is what it is. But this was all I could find. This was absolutely it. Maybe they would have more matches in the future, maybe on like Shotgun Saturday Nights or something. I don't know. But I just thought that there was, I went into this thinking, oh, this match again. Just going into it.
You've never seen it on a pay-per-view yet.
No, you haven't. You haven't. And I was pleasantly surprised going into it. It was like, oh, not bad at all. Like, now, compared to what WCW is doing, this does not even come close. It doesn't hold a candle.
Yeah, but that's like saying you're going to see a better women's match in WWE than you are in AEW.
I mean, it's...
Because they've got them all. They've got all the best ones. That's true. WCW has the best cruiserweights because WWF did not capitalize on it when WCW did.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's your own fault.
And Vince has never been a big fan either, even though WCW had no idea how to use the cruiserweights anyways.
If he's not a fan of something, you're not going to get him on board.
No.
He's going to kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like tease the idea?
He'll flirt with it.
He'll flirt with it. Perfect. Thank you. I knew it was like kind of like a term like that.
Oh, anytime, man. You're welcome.
Thanks, buddy.
They would have a quote-unquote Japanese media there to take pictures of Taka.
Oh, where was the flash paper?
Oh, you're right.
Yoko and Hogan at King of the Ring 93.
All of a sudden, Sonny Ono comes out from under the ring. Ha! Steals the title, gives it to Ultimo Dragon.
You want your flash paper? Sorry. It was only because Sonny Ono is a gimmick of himself.
Oh, be good. Oh, be good. He is.
Okay, okay, Monsoon. Oh, be hey, or oh, be good.
Oh, be good. Travis. Pop quiz.
I thought you were going to play Peaches and Regalia for 1 second there.
Mitch made us some pop quiz music. I haven't figured out exactly how to use it yet, but that was my first attempt. It can only get better. But Travis, our first question in the pop quiz has to do with Diddy Kong.
Oh, Diddy Kong Racing?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
It's the game that I played so much of but never owned.
Yeah, good thing it's not about the game itself. it's soundtrack on CD, okay? It released its soundtrack. That wasn't enough for Nintendo. Therefore, you know, this was also their only self-contracted release for the holiday season 1997. They had to do something special. What was so different about the soundtrack? It had a yellow bottom akin to the PlayStation CDs. It had an audio interview with composer David Weiss. It was shaped as Diddy Kong's head. Or it secretly contained the original Donkey Kong soundtrack.
D.
D? It's C. Shaped as Diddy Kong's head.
That's pretty dope.
And it was unplayable in some CD players.
I can see that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's this week's pop quiz part one.
Secretly putting Donkey Kong Country soundtrack on there kind of sounds like a Nintendo thing to do.
I thought I'd fool you with that one, honestly.
That was a good one. Yeah. Good red herring.
Thank you. I didn't know how the yellow bottom would go over either. I didn't know how that would go over, but hey.
When you said the PlayStation thing, I was like, I think you got that one wrong.
Got it wrong. It's a blatant lie.
Too damn fucking selfish.
Too damn selfish, Brett. But this up next is a 6-man tag team match. Buddy. Travis.
Told you. Wash my hands of this.
Wash his hands. Well,
awful rap sink. Savio's kicked out of ringside.
Awful rap is right. You just wait. It gets worse. Right now, Easy E shows up. You can't see, but Travis just raising the roof, constantly raising the roof. But yeah, no, it is some horrible, horrible rap.
And you fire PG-13.
Right? Right? They were actually getting better at the rap. But hey, DOA come out. Crush, he is missing. He's MIA. He's back into Clink, maybe. Who knows? Actually, that's a lie, because Kane attacks Crush. And he's, you know, not able to make the show. So it's a six-man tag, and Savio Vega is not in the match. That's
Jesus Castillo, Jose Estrada, and Miguel Perez.
Yes.
So, yeah, Savio's even kicked out of ringside.
Yeah, he even tries to come back when I believe Jesus Castillo is injured ringside. I think he tries to come back. I think it's Jesus. I could be wrong, though. No, it's Miguel. Miguel Perez. That's who. At least in my notes, it's Miguel.
But that's okay. I know that Miguel is the one that sent on Shane's head during a pin, and that's what causes the Barriquas to win the match.
Yeah. Miguel's the one that wins it. The hairy guy. The hairy one.
And he's the one that Edge would break his neck on his debut.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Edge would break Miguel Perez's neck in his debut match.
Whew.
And the thing, people gave Samoa Joe shit for breaking Tyson Kidd's neck.
Yeah. Yep.
This is the exact... Well, I guess, I mean, Joe was a seasoned vet, but...
And it was a freak accident, too. Just mainly because Tyson Kidd's neck was thrashed. So, but I mean, a muscle buster is also... It's can't be the most
one of those moves that you're kind of like on the fence, like, should you do it?
Yeah.
Should you not? That's a little fucked.
Yeah. I mean, like, you think about all the times that Sting probably took a muscle buster.
And then you think about how his career turned out.
Yeah. There you go. AJ Styles took a lot of muscle busters.
He took a lot of muscle busters at an old age.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Sting. Probably. I don't know how many he took. Yeah.
Stephanie McMahon.
McMahon? Oh, Kurt Angle.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Stephanie McMahon.
McMahon. But yeah, no, Miguel, he was sliding to the ring and do a forward-flipping leg drop, giving his team the win. Yeah. It was, the finish was somewhat okay. That's about it, though. The rest of the match is absolute garbage. I see some action going on. Oh, wow. I've missed a whole conversation on the YouTube with the chat. Didn't know. Had my notes completely covered fucking like some kind of fucking loser. Thanks, man. Tyler needs to listen to... What? To Saw Red? He'd like them. Tyler needs to listen to more Sublime. Oh! Saw Red is probably a song.
It's a song with Gwen Stefani in it.
I got you.
It's a ska song.
Got you. And anyways. Doc is with Butterbean. Cole is with Marrow.
Colster.
The Colster.
We got no Toddster, so...
That's true. With his pierced ear. Toddster's gone. He is no more. But Butterbean, he flubs. Marrow berates Sable for speaking, claiming this is his moment and he's a star in this duo. And they go out for a 4-round boxing match. And this was probably as worse as it gets.
You know what?
This was fucking awful.
DOA and the Barriquas had a better match.
Yeah.
Sable's already the star of this duo. Butterbean shows up to Ken Shamrock's first theme song. It's a Brawl for All fucking prototype, man.
I thought, who comes out to Patriots theme in this episode?
Sergeant Slaughter.
Right. That song has been repurposed a lot.
And it's a shame because Slaughter actually gets a pretty, catchy theme song.
Oh, yeah. I get you. Well, yeah, no, this is absolutely stupid. Between rounds, Marrow's hitting cheap shots. It immediately makes you takes you right out of this whole thing where this is supposed to be a boxing match. It's just not good, not fun, not entertaining at all.
No. Butterbean had a fight the night before on the Oscar De La Hoya undercard, apparently.
Yeah,
is that what he said?
I know that he said that he had a fight on the De La Hoya card. I don't know when it was. Whether it was the night before or not.
It was the night before.
Okay.
Yeah, he fought the night before.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure. But yeah, no, The only clever thing that you can go into is that, you know, when Butterbean spits in his bucket and then throws a spit bucket at him or whatever. You know what I mean? At Marrow. But other than that, man, this whole thing was absolute garbage. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Mark low blows Butterbean.
Yeah.
And attacks him with a stool. Yeah. So it's either no contest or Butterbean wins. I don't know what boxing rules are when it comes to disqualifications.
With that being said, Travis, you hear some strange cracking over the intercom or the speakers, the loudspeakers, if you will. And it's a remix of Goldust's theme. The weeks before, he came out as a race flag with like purple hair and checkers on his face. He comes out in some real flamboyant pink attire that was see-through. I'm surprised his ass wasn't showing, but it was covered somewhat, still see-through. And he recites Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss. Now, I'm not going to play any of it because I've got little bits of it into the Art of Commentary just to get the gist. It's really, you know, how exciting can Green Eggs and Ham be? Said like he was gay, you know what I mean, like in that flamboyant way,
in two different voices.
Yeah, it's
almost like schizophrenic like shit where it's like old gold dust new gold dust type shit. This really seems like the setup for him wanting to get breast implants. I'll tell you that, with the outfits that he's choosing, this seems exactly it.
Seems like the timeline. Well, this is the alternate attire for Attitude.
No,
Warzone.
No, this isn't the one. It's a green
one. I mean, like, this is the era where it would, it would come from this.
The artist formerly known as Goldust would have like this the green attire that he'd have.
Yeah, with like little white things on his tits. Yeah. Would Luna be in that game?
No,
she wasn't. Hey? No,
there was like 12 people in that game.
Oh, no, I was talking about Attitude. Sorry.
Oh, Attitude. No.
Yeah. No, there's not very many. There's enough to do a tournament for the titles, and that's about it.
On Attitude, there was a lot of characters, but Warzone had, like, 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, yeah, the TV tournament with the big TVs.
Never, ever beat it, because I remember our game would skip after you got to a certain... Never, ever got a chance to
beat
it.
But we had that game for so long.
Yeah.
Beating up, lost the case.
Oh, yeah. I remember the case just getting smashed to smithereens. And you know what, though? I was, like, what? Fuck. 9, 10? 11?
You would have been 11 years old when the game came out.
Yeah, so I would have gotten it when I was 11. How good is an 11-year-old and you were 4 would take care of a CD?
Now, when I was that age, when I got video games with PlayStation 2, I had no jewel cases, so I could take care of those games as well as I could.
Yeah.
You know, like it's hard not to break it's hard to break those cases.
DVD case, the CD jewel case is garbage. It's
always
it's
was
the worst.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, really was. Especially, I've had some that stood the test of time, but most would have the hinge broken.
Well,
almost immediately.
I got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 in a PlayStation 2 jewel case off eBay just recently, and even as a fully grown adult, I hold that case and I'm like, man, if I make one wrong move, it's broke.
Yeah. It's very true.
It's holding on by two plastic nibs.
Yep. That could wear out at any time. You never know when the last turn will be for that nib.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't.
And then it'll flip right over.
And then you'd think the cardboard ones would be the answer. But that's not true.
They wear out.
They wear. My Blink 182 Mark, Tom, and Travis show had. It was open so many times that the crease just became nothing and it just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, there was no answer aside from selling DVDs and DVD cases or selling CDs and DVD cases, which I wouldn't be opposed to, really.
No.
But, yeah, whatever.
Fair hour.
Yeah. But Luna would call him down, call him scum, I think, and drag him to the back. And I guess Luna is the Dom and he is the sub.
Mm.
Yep. And that's the way she blows. Now Travis. Travis, up next is an LOD promo. And you know what happens with every LOD promo. We listen to it. And this one is probably one of the best ones.
It's a great one.
It's a great one. So here we go.
Down. We're gonna kick your teeth right down your throat. Tell them, Hawk. Well, Mr. Dog, Mr. S, you two remind me of a deeply embedded booger right up my right nostril, and my fingertip and its nail are just a little too short to get you. But I dig, and I dig, and finally I get that booger, and I get it in here, and I roll it around, and I flick it. Get ready to get flicked, because tonight, Road Dog and Mr. Ass, you are the equivalent of mine and his boogers. What a booger.
Hawk killing it as usual.
Oh, he's fantastic, man. He is absolutely tremendous. See, Mitch says in the chat, this is the best Hawk promo of all time. And it really is. You're goddamn right, Mitchell. You're goddamn right. I gotta tell him.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
You're God right. You're God right.
You're God right. Oh, goddamn, I'm a fucking klutz. Anyways, this is Billy Gunn and Road Dogg taking on the Legion of Doom for the WWF World Tag Team titles. So Road Dogg comes out. He's getting closer and closer to the Road Dogg that we would all know and love.
The theme is now here. They're not entering to no theme song, no. Doing the whole rundown shtick. And Road Dogg, great here. He has been great for weeks, but they treat LOD like a zoo exhibit almost.
Yes, they say that they are like wardens from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And they're going to show all this, the 6,000 people here in Springfield. You know, Bart,
the dinosaurs.
Lisa, Homer, Ned, show them all the dinosaurs that are on exhibit, which is LOD. Mm-hmm. And this would cause LOD to not let them into the ring. And this would cause Road Dogg to backtrack, as well as Mr. Ass, until the Stooges would come out and send them to the ring, and LOD would blindside them and start the attack. It's a good match, you know, it's fine.
It's okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it's nothing great, you know. But it's Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. They're not a great tag team wrestling-wise, but they're a great act. They're a great entrance. It's like Enzo Amore. Enzo Amore was a great entrance, and that's where it ended. You know, there's a place for it in wrestling, but you're never going to be to the top. And
Road Dogg
gets
so over with this gimmick, so
yep.
You can't say it's bad, but at the same time, it's not like the best match of all time.
No.
At all.
No.
I mean, Road Dogg ice buckets Hawk while he gets low blowed by Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
When it turns to normal, New Age Outlaws get the heat on him. There's a one point where Billy Gunn hits a knee drop, causing a sensor that sounded like it came from JR, but probably came from Hawk.
I assume it came from Hawk, because it might have connected a little bit, maybe.
Tyler, lo and behold, though, the man, Henry O. Godwin, shows up.
Oh, he does. I was happy to see him, even though he didn't really do anything.
Fucking animal gets bucketed.
Bucketed, yeah. They're forever getting bucketed.
But Hawk gets bucketed instead of animal.
Oh, did he? Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Well, and then Hawk would then bucket everybody.
Yeah. The New Age Outlaws get bucketed. The ref almost does, but he calls for a DQ. So the New Age Outlaws win via DQ and retain these titles.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to mention that ice bucket that you were talking about was styrofoam.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry would mention it because JR sells it as if it was a life-threatening move. And
he got
King's
attacked
out.
By the Yeti Cooler.
It's styrofoam, JR. Give it a break. But no, this match was fine. This was a great way to come back from the boxing match, as well as, you know, the meandering Goldust promo.
Yeah.
As different as it was, as shocking as it was to see Goldust that way, it was not good.
No.
You know what I mean? So if you listen to it in clip form, it's amusing, but not in its entirety.
I don't understand how it's supposed to get him over as a heel.
I think they want to try to recreate the feeling that people got from him when he debuted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is obviously not it. Goldust should have just continued on with the way he was going and just became, if he wanted to continue a heel, just be a dickhead. You know what I mean? That's it. You want to be a babyface, just be a good guy.
Oh, he has this identity crisis for a while. Like, oh, man. Oh, yeah. This goes on all of 98.
And it was also carry over to WCW.
Like, you barely see Goldust after this.
Yeah. Until he comes back to the WWF upon.
Well, he comes back as Goldust for a bit, and then they were supposed to do GTV with him. But, like, he becomes Dustin Rhodes in 98.
Yeah.
Dustin Runnels, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, with his fucking bandana.
I don't think so, but yeah.
Oh, I thought WCW. You were, man. Is that WCW?
Yeah.
After he declares himself not Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because that identity crisis lasts a long time. It goes to TNA.
Yeah.
Black Reign. Whew. I really hope he's in our timeline. I want to.
Oof.
Oh,
all right.
I really hope so. We'll see. I really hope so. Well, we just basically gave it away. It's TNA.
I think they already knew that, Tyler.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess it could be true. But no, Triple H is then with Cole. He has a survival kit for Slaughter, a special comb, Metamucil, some prunes, some Depends, you know.
He's Carrot Top.
Yeah, essentially. Instead of big outlandish hair, he's got a big outlandish nose. That's about it.
And a big outlandish girl.
He very, very much so. He also calls his dick a peace pipe. And that Sergeant Slaughter
smoke the peace pipe.
Yes, his wife is going to be smoking it. And no one ever really said that Hunter had good taste in women. So, who knows?
Tyler is not a fan of Stephanie McMahon.
No. I like earlier Stephanie McMahon. I thought that that was fine. But these days, the character Stephanie McMahon is just...
2000 Stephanie McMahon.
Where she would get her comeuppance. Jericho would give her comeuppance, and it was like, fuck yeah, Stephanie got it. But now, she's basically, the whole crew is a cuck, and she's the queen.
She's feminazi, yeah.
Yeah. So she's literally that chick from Batman.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, yeah. Dark Knight Returns.
Returns, yes. The Frank Miller comic.
Yeah. With the fucking Nazi symbols on her ass. Or on her tits. It's a cartoon.
Every time I saw
her
I was like, Bridget Nielsen.
Oh, yeah, dude. Fucking right. If you wanted to cast a wrestler in it, Jazzy Gabhart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Seth Rollins' girlfriend. Ex-girlfriend.
Oh, the Nazi. The true life
one
Nazi.
One that dates Sonya Deville.
Oh.
Zyra
oh.
Or whatever her fucking name is.
I don't know. It might be Zyra. It might be. The one, yeah. The one that leaked his pictures and stuff like that, too. Or she was the
Nazi
reason
memorabilia
why.
Girl.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, she doesn't fit the part, but she's real life.
Well,
Nazi.
I mean, she lives the part.
She does, so that's something. That says something. And in wrestling, if you live the part, that's your fucking great gimmick.
Just turn it up to 11.
Turn it up to 11. You just put some Nazi things on your tits and just go around and wrestle and be great.
Oh, Nazi nipples.
Nazi nipples.
Swastika nipples.
Yeah, Shotzi Blackheart and her heart nipples. Fuck that.
Fuck that.
Nazi nipples is where it's at. Oh, Christ. This brings us to... a boot camp match. I didn't really want to get here, so I was okay with talking about Nazi nipples for a long time. But
now we can just breeze through this like the rise and fall of the Third Reich.
We've already talked about Slaughter's theme. Now, has anybody ever had a seizure because of DX's entrance, I wonder?
I fucking hate it now. I hate it too. So much now. I think too. I liked it when I was a kid.
I loved it when I was a kid, but now
it's
too
terrible.
Much. Yeah.
It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, if they took a longer break between the shots and did them less.
Yeah. It would be much better.
By the time they get into the ring, shut the thing off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tired of fucking seeing it. I've seen the same things over and over again. I don't need to see the cops with their fucking lights like it's fucking cops.
No. Like, if you showed a little bit of it, you know, like I said with the...
Even before they came out, just like 15 seconds before the song says break it down.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's too much. It was hard to watch. And then the second time with Sean, it's just like, no.
And Sean didn't need it for the main event.
No. Sean, like, I understand Sean coming out to that music now.
Yeah.
Right? Cause
but he didn't need the effect.
No, not at all. He's a champion. Let the fucking people at home see him with that title and walk. It just makes, to me, I just don't understand. But with this being 17 fucking minutes, why in God's green earth would your decision be to put Sergeant Slaughter in a 17-minute match? That boggles my goddamn mind.
It goes with the tradition of Hunter thinking he can get a good match out of anyone.
I know, but like right now, I know right now it's because him and Sean are in Vince's ear and everything like that, but...
Booking
committee. Man, like, fuck me. This is horrible.
Yeah.
I will say, though, it's better than Hogan Sting. I really think so. I really do believe that I enjoyed this
match. I think the match went by easier than Hogan Sting.
Yeah, yeah. Better work than Hogan Sting.
Yeah, but they didn't draw 700,000 bucks.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. This had no story.
That's where I'm going to leave it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. There's
easier to watch, but, I mean, compare the buy rates.
Yeah. It's like talking about Rock and Hogan. You know what I mean? Rock and Hogan as a match, it's garbage.
It's better than Sting and Hogan.
It's better than Sting and Hogan, but, like, the match is garbage. Yeah, but like, and I wouldn't say garbage, but it's like... Compared to some five-star matches that have been out there, that match doesn't have the technical abilities that the other matches have. What that match has, though, is a fantastic story and two guys who are bigger-than-life fucking men facing off for the first time. Dream match. It's the crowd that got that match. That match with the volume off is not fun to watch.
It's, wrestling with the volume off is not fun to watch.
No.
No matter how you put it. And it's one of those things that we talked about while watching All Out, I believe, is that there's room for stories, but there's room for athleticism. And that's what that match was. It was the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Hunter and Great Jericho should have been the athleticism and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the story was too big for the entire show.
Yeah. And, like, Hunter and Jericho would not have been able to follow it. That crowd would have been so burnt out by the end. Well, yeah, but and that's why it's not remembered, though. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like it's they shouldn't have had to do that because can you imagine
Hunter's big return got ruined by Rock and Hogan?
Yeah,
like Hunter's biggest babyface run got ruined by being misplaced on the biggest show of the night of the year.
Yeah, it's a shame because Jericho was doing some great work at that point in time.
Man, I'm 27 years old, and you're fucking
33.
You're 33.
I had to think about it myself.
And I'm sure both of us remember the night that Triple H returned in MSG.
Oh, yeah. That was I remember as a kid getting goosebumps that night.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was really good. It was really good. It was my favorite Triple H look. The jean jacket. Or, you know what I mean?
For years, I've wanted to put a jean jacket over a leather jacket. But I know I'm not fucking cool enough.
No. No, I feel like I need to be able to ride a motorcycle to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Got to. But, I mean, like, also, in real life, you can't really go around riding a motorcycle with a big patch on your back. See what I mean?
Unless it's like a band patch.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah.
Like a Federation patch.
If you went and just like, I'm going to make this mock fucking biker club vest.
It's like, Sons of Anarchy. Oh, buddy, you get ran off the road.
Jesus Christ. That's one thing I never understood was the Sons of Anarchy merch thing.
Yeah.
Where you'd want those big fucking sweaters. And no, it's not for me, man.
No.
Not for me at all.
You'd never get a shirt of a TV show.
No, it's not. Unless it was like some artistic version of it.
I've got like an artsy Twin Peaks shirt and stuff like that, but it's not like just like Twin Peaks.
No. Exactly. It's not like the logo of the TV show or something. It's like some mural.
Like my Seinfeld shirt, the Nirvana one.
Oh, yeah. No, that one's one of my favorite shirts I've ever seen in my life. That's a great shirt. That it is. It's fan. And that one, everything's coming up. Milhouse, the Descendants one. And then the Rugrats one, too, is pretty dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Those I get. Those are great. But no, I would never wear a Sons of Anarchy shirt like that. Great show. Horrible, horrible merch. Anyways, this boot camp match, you see how much we want to talk about it. We're just meandering around.
It's going to take us 17 minutes to get through.
It really might. It really might. But no, it really won't because it's going to end right now. Sarge applies camel clutch after getting clocked with a boot, but he gets kicked in the dick by China.
Did you say a cobra clutch?
I did say a cobra clutch. It's like a bag. Give it to your lady if you've done something bad. But no, you get hit in the dick, and Triple H hit a pedigree on the chair and get the win. So that was that match. Triple H, with a long-standing ability to take horrible people and put them in long matches and make them sit through it. Nash, that Hell in a Cell. Still, to this day, the worst match I ever watched was like Triple H, Nash, and Hell in a Cell. It's fucking horrible.
It's amazing.
Absolutely horrible. But you know what, man? Sometimes commentators make you want to hang, shake, bash your head. But sometimes you just laugh. But by God, this is the art of commentary. Excel edition.
The only thing I'm worried about, JR, you said that weight limit is 215 pounds. Brian has to train daily. He has to diet. He can't even eat his favorite foods just to get down to that weight. Look at Taka Michinoku. If he loses another pound, we'll have to file a missing persons report.
I am Sam. I am Sam.
I would have thought you'd have taught your son better manners than that, King.
Hey, don't even start that, JR. All this. Look at him, look!
That's pretty classic.
I'll tell you what, I wish he was my son. I'd sure be proud of him.
Well, like father, like son. That's what I always say.
I think one day your father took you aside and left you there.
We've got a comb specially made to comb his hair so it look good when he goes to the ring.
You know why Disneyland failed in Japan, don't you?
Why is that, King?
Nobody was tall enough to go on the rides.
I've got Metamucil. I've got prunes to loosen the old man up.
Sam, I am.
Sorry, Dr. Zeus.
Oh!
Well, that was another blatant shot. If referee would have seen that, we would have had a disqualification.
Oh, come on, it's styrofoam.
And don't worry, Sarge. I've got your back covered, too, because I got you some Depends.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
Say, he wrote this?
I don't think so.
I do not like them, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Come on, you scum.
Steel steps. Are you surprised at Sergeant Slaughter? Are you amazed at what he's able to do right here? That's what happens when you OD on Jericho. Look at Sarge. He's going crazy.
Nicely edited, Tyler.
Thank you.
Nicely Thank you. Edited.
I spent some time on that one. Not every time do you get a piece, two clips of audio with many different little
three
lines.
Clips.
I suppose, yeah.
That was three different clips.
Oh, there was a few different clips,
oh,
really.
I know, but
three main ones.
Instances.
Yeah, three main ones. But up next, we got Cole with WWF newcomer Jeff Jarrett, and he literally says nothing. Not literally, but I mean figuratively.
He says a lot in his theme song. I am destined for greatness.
Horrible. It's garbage. I didn't think Jeff Jarrett could get worse.
Destined for failure.
Yeah, oh, yeah. 100%.
His gimmick, his fucking outfit.
It's
this is
horrible.
All so fucking bad.
Yeah.
It's so fucking bad. He wants to be a big star. He wants to be a big fucking star.
Yeah.
So he wrestles The Undertaker, and he looks like a goddamn scrub. You can tell, you can feel the energy of this match that Jeff Jarrett does not fucking belong in the same ring as The Undertaker.
Nah, even a little bit.
You can say whatever the fuck you want about The Undertaker, but right here, this ain't right. This ain't fucking right.
No, no.
This is an insult to The Undertaker
really
in December
is.
Of 1997.
Yeah. Especially to not beat him.
Kudos to The Undertaker for actually giving him a fucking shred of a chance. If I saw Jeff Jarrett in his goddamn blue and orange Power Ranger outfit, I would have said, fuck you, go back to fucking Turner.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not a wrestler, but...
Mind you, the only takeaway you can get from this match is this match was essentially a vessel to get Kane and Undertaker in the same ring. No matter who was going to be in this match, it was going to get ruined by Kane. So why put somebody in it that you want to see, right? Now, it's also begged the question why you do the match in general. You know, if anything, you have Kane have a match that's going to squash somebody. And that way you work
Taker
out.
Taker didn't have a match in Survivor Series, though.
And that's fair. You got to put Taker on the show.
Switching it off right now.
Yeah.
Except that Kane doesn't have a match at the Royal Rumble.
He's in the Rumble, though, isn't he? What? Why? Oh, because you can't have Kane lose and you can't have him win.
No, but there's a huge fucking spot at the Rumble with Taker and Kane.
I can't remember. Spot.
No, we'll see.
I can't remember.
Don't even spoil it. You're going to love it when you see it because you'll remember it and you'll be like, holy fuck, why didn't I think of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, because this is the time that I was religiously watching. Every week in, week out. I was sparsely throughout the rest of it because I was just too young to actually have a nighttime viewing schedule. I had a 5 o'clock Power Ranger schedule, but that was about it. But no, Jarrett would encourage Kane to attack Taker once he came down.
Shuffles him a little bit. Go take care of him.
Yeah, and this was great. Kane gives Double J a choke slam, and that gives Taker the DQ and the loss. But the two basically stare at each other. Kane slaps his brother, almost makes him cry, and then shows off his fire magic and leaves.
Shows his fire trick, leaves. Love watching Kane, though.
Yeah. Oh, Kane. Awesome. When I was a kid, everything was Kane, you know, and looking back at it now, I was like, okay, yeah, no, Kane was pretty good back then. It's just
legitimately menacing.
Yeah. Yeah. He would recapture it a little bit once he took off his mask briefly, but it just went downhill after that.
6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. But after that, it was gone.
Until the Taker feud ended.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. He buried Taker. We did that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did the whole thing, Tyler. We did the whole thing.
Even the unmasking?
Yeah, we did.
Did we do the unmasking?
That happened summer of 2003.
Fuck, so we did. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember RVD. RVD was his tag partner at the time, and he just fucking has nothing to do with it. And those matches against Shane, the burning dumpster fire,
the balls and the
electrocution, the battery. Oh, fantastic stuff! Think about the Katie Vick stuff. No. Yeah, Kane is the babyface. What? That's how you're going to try to get Kane over as babyface? Killed his girlfriend in a car accident? Okay, it's a bad juju on you, man.
Chicks dig freaks.
Mark Henry is with some kids in the crowd. The Milton Bradley section. They're playing board games, I assume, when the cameras aren't rolling. He says he'll be back in a few weeks to join the nation.
It's sexual, baby.
Oh,
I am so sorry.
Oh, Mark Henry is a wonderful human being. Don't listen to what Trav says. as funny as it was,
is that where he got his nickname from? Is he like Bill Cosby? You got some more milk, kid?
Everybody want to put him up. But no. WWF Intercontinental title matches up next. It's Steve Austin taking on The Rock. But no, The Rock has stolen his title. Leading up to this, we've had many iconic moments where you had Austin throwing off the bridge. My hand talking as well. The pager moment where Austin is cutting the promo outside and he says, once your pager rings 316, you know your time is done. Rock's pager rings 316. The look on Rock's face is great. Austin's behind him, beats the shit out of him. It's one of the highlights of Raw in 1997, some of the whole Attitude era. It's fantastic.
And Rock's just catching gold.
Oh, man. Like, look at Farouk while Rock's cutting his promos. Just deflated. He is so not interested.
He's become a third wheel. Yeah. Or a second. Like, he's become second fiddle.
Yeah.
So quickly and so fast.
Yeah. Really, though. He has.
The Rock is improving week by week, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you watch his first promos, and you're, like, cringing because it's like, oh, your third person dialogue is actually kind of bad. And a couple weeks later, you're like, oh, wow. Really, it really came along.
Yeah. No, it's crazy what giving him the heel character can do for him and letting him just go full-on asshole. At this point in time, the people's champ has been coined.
Before DDP.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I remember as a kid knowing that Rock was the first people's champ, not DDP. Rock was the first people's champ. But, yeah, no, because it would come after DDP loses the U.S. title. that's when he would become the people's champion. He'd get screwed of it, wouldn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. But no, that being said, the Austin comes out in a Chevy pickup. Just starting, you know, giving Austin this big rub, you know, letting them have the special entrance. This is, I believe, the first vehicle entrance he has.
That build up.
Oh, yeah. Like, they made you want... I mean, at this point in time, everybody wanted Austin to be the champion anyways. You know, he was so hot. Those matches with Brett just caught on like wildfire. If anything, Brett made the star before he left. They just didn't know it.
Sorry, it took me a bit to kind of like absorb that in, because that was actually really profound.
Thank you. It really was. I just thought about it.
That was actually good, Tyler. Yeah. Usually I don't like credit you on a lot of things when it comes to what you say on the podcast, but that's incredibly profound.
Yeah, it's true, though.
It's kind of like the whole thing that I've been trying to get along a lot in the past year with Brett, is that how can you call him selfish? How can you say all this shit about Brett leading up to Montreal when he's been doing nothing but making a star out of Steve Austin all year?
Yep. All year long.
Since he came back, he's been doing nothing but putting Austin over.
Yep.
I don't understand. Like, yeah, he doesn't like Shawn Michaels. He doesn't fucking respect him.
No.
If you're... Do unto others as you want to do unto them, or however the fuck the slang goes, because Shawn Michaels won't put over Brett. Brett wouldn't put over Shawn in return.
Could have just done the Austin Brett match at Survivor Series.
If that shit happened at my workplace, I'd do the same thing. Yeah. Where it was like, you know, like that kind of childish bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyone would.
Yeah.
If you have right sense and you're not a bitch.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And all in this, it's kind of funny that Austin would transition from a feud with Owen to The Rock, and now
go for the title.
He's been feuding with the Hurts all year long, and now all of a sudden he's got his own feud going on, and he's the biggest fucking star of the show. They're ending Raws with The Rock and Austin, not with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, yeah, it's the bigger story. It's the more well thought out story. It's how they're telling the story. Being, you know, with the bridges and outside of the realm of, you know, having to work around Austin not being able to work.
Sean's at the point now where he is the king.
Yeah.
He has over-trumped the other king.
Yeah.
And now he can just sit and fucking get high for the last hour of Raw.
Yeah.
He can do his poker segments in the first hour and then just fucking sit backstage and just let the Somas roll on in.
You want the Soma roll. But no, Travis is riding the waves. Austin would back body drop D'Lo onto the hood of the truck. Feet would actually go through the windshield. He would then stun him on the roof. Kama then tried to hit Austin with a chair, but he would hit for Farouk instead. Good. It was great.
Farouk crumbled like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, he did. He did. But the sound of the chair off the truck, it harkers back to the AEW, the Street Fight.
This match reminded me a lot of the AEW Street Fight, especially with the D'Lo bit.
Yep. The sound of the weapon hitting the car really making it seem like he killed the guy. It was all like, oh, wow. This is literally
the age of this podcast, but what we watched last night.
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
That parking lot fight was awesome.
It was fucking amazing. Great.
Best one I've ever seen.
One of my favorite matches of the year, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I will say. But Austin would wrestle throughout this match with his vest on. He would stomp a mud hole. He would attempt a stunner on Kama, he would attempt a stunner on Rock, but Kama would get into the way. And then after the distraction, Austin hits the ref with a stunner. Rock then gets the brass knucks, and Austin would...
How the ref stunner happened, I don't know, because Austin didn't know that he hit the ref with the stunner.
Well, like, it's weird.
The stunner takes slower to build up to than a diamond cutter or an RKO.
Yeah.
It's not a cutter.
Well, you got, no, exactly.
You take a setup, you realize what head you're grabbing.
Yeah. But hey, you know what?
Fucking clank.
As you clank yourself. But no, with that being said, yeah, that makes no sense in the world. But he would stun the ref, Rock would then get some brass knucks, hit Austin, and sneak a sneaky on him and get the win. So yeah, he wouldn't get to use the brass knucks, but Austin would hit stunner and lights out for Rock. Rock has not learned how to supersell the stunner yet.
That's okay. He's got a year.
Yeah, it would come.
He's got 1 year to figure that out.
Yeah, a year and a bit. Yeah, going into WrestleMania next year. Yeah. But, Travis, dare I say...
Pop quiz. You spaced these out so far.
I did, actually. But Nickelodeon is creating a crossover episode. That's what they're known for now. Just Wild Thornberrys, Rugrats, all that stuff. But Ah Real Monsters was the first. But with what other show? Was it Duckman? Rugrats, The Wild Thornberrys, or The Wacky Adventures of Ronald McDonald?
I'm going to go with A.
Duckman? It's Rugrats.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because Rugrats would return this year, or 90. Yeah, I think they would return this year from their hiatus. And then...
Oh, after Klasky and Supo had their falling out because they were husband and wife.
Yeah. Yeah, they would return this year, and then they would have that crossover episode with their other thing, Real Monsters. Because Duckman, Wild Thornberrys, and Wacky Adventures of Ronald McDonald are all the same company, all done by the same people do Rugrats. Yeah, I can't pronounce it, so I just leave it alone. And I know I'm not. I'll butcher it. It's too much.
It's Klasky Supo.
Yeah. I get you. Shamrock cuts a promo with Cornette. Saying that he's got enough experience with big fights to take on HBK.
What do you think of Cornette as the interview? He carries it on with Raw. So it's almost like they're writing Sonny off.
I mean, she does play a big role in ECW in the next couple months. So
she's also been asked to go to rehab, I'm pretty sure, too.
Oh, really? Really? Fair enough. That says a lot. Jim Cornette is great in any one of these
roles.
He's
good with the Ken interview.
You put Jim in the back trying to lead somebody to down the road like Mean Gene would. It works.
I thought it was fine. I wish that they would have continued on with this.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I feel like it is a waste of Jim Cornette.
At this point, yep.
He can add a lot more to your show. I was personally a big fan of his commentary, honestly. So, myself, I'm Raw leading up to this.
At the same time, though, would you have taken Jerry Lawler and JR over Cornette? And...
Oh, yeah. I would still want JR and King, but like, there's a part of me is like, fuck, I wouldn't mind.
I think Cornette should have been the third man. And then he's the guy like Tony Schiavone on AEW where he goes to do the in-ring interviews.
I mean, you could do that. It would work with it out.
Too, but at the same time, if they switched off...
Yeah, I mean, JR is great for those sit-down ones, like he does in AEW, like he did now, at this timeline with Mankind and Goldust. That's where JR really shines. But at the same time, right now, he's great at getting those big moments over, too. But you can't take JR off of it. I mean, like adding Jim Cornette, it could be too much with JR and King, because King's got a lot to say.
True.
And so does Jim Cornette. So I don't know, but I would love to see more Jim Cornette on commentary or, you know, even the backstage segment. It's good. You're
maybe
getting
we'll
more
get to
of
see
them.
We'll get to see the NWA.
Oh, yeah, with fucking Bart Gunn and Bob Holly.
Bodacious Bart and Bombastic Bob.
Yeah, fucking the new Midnight Express.
Yeah, we'll get to see which one was better. Stan Lane and Bobby or the real pig fuckers?
I wonder who was better. I fucking wonder. good promo by Shamrock. Shamrock's over as fuck. So,
awesome.
I mean, like,
awesome.
I remember when we were talking about the Survivor Series and Ken Shamrock getting put over, and I mentioned, it was like, no, I mean, you could have done it.
Yeah. You were on the fence about it.
Yeah.
You
could have done it. You could have done it. He was over enough, I feel. But, JR, he has some words with HBK. Doesn't really go well for JR. Should I play it or shouldn't I?
No.
No, you don't.
No, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, we don't need
to
hear.
It's a waste of fucking time.
JR get berated, called fat over again.
I actually was insulted by this.
It was,
like, I watched this and I was like, you guys actually like did not need to do that.
No, like this is how you're going to build your main event. Yeah, this is you're going to hype your main event with this.
You're going to hype your main event by calling JR a fat tub of goo three times in your interview.
Yeah, you got no better fucking thing other than say the same thing three times.
Like, come on, you can do shitty humor, but do it with at least a little bit of clever.
Right? Try. Like, at least try.
Oh, JR, you big fat tub of goo. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And then, like, watching that, the preview where they twisted his ankle around and Sean had to keep the lollipop in his mouth for the entire promo. Like, I am seriously not understanding. I don't get it.
No, I agree.
It's go away heat for me. I don't want to even see it at this point.
Yeah. How much do you think Vince paid Sean Extra to just put that dig in on JR?
Three times.
Really? You know Vince is in his ear. He's like, oh, do that.
I'm a fat tub of goo.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking fat tub of goo. Yeah. You see the movie Flubber?
Because that was just coming out.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was the big movie at this point in time going into the Christmas season. It works out. It's funny you say that. I never thought about it. But yeah, the build up to this, like Travis said, you've got HBK showing his hyperflexibility, his ankles. You got, the show had Anvil join the DX only to have DX turn on him later that night. They would spray WCW on his back and Shamrock would interfere and try to make the save. That's basically it, you know. That's the story of this match. You're going into it. There's
Shamrock's
not really much
placeholder until what happens in the main event.
Oh yeah, yeah, with Owen. Yeah, I mean, like the Sham Man, he shows off some scary strength there when he deadlifts Michaels from in between his legs. Shamrock is really good at making you believe that he is a fucking beast because technically he is a beast.
They need three people in this match for Shamrock to even get the be like down and to get the heat on him for.
Yeah. Yeah. Shamrock, at this point in time, they've got him protected where if he's going to get beaten, it's going to take a fucking army to beat him. And luckily,
if it was just Shamrock and Sean one-on-one in this story, then Shamrock would easily beat Sean.
Yeah.
But due to the constant interference, and this is one part where I usually kind of like tune out of the match. But at this point, it kind of made sense.
Yeah,
it had a good story to it where Sean had no chance.
No.
Sean had no chance against him.
Yeah.
But because Hunter and China were ringside, Sean was a viable contender at beating the world's most dangerous man.
Yeah, it was essentially a 3-on-1 match. The HBK, he would hit planchas to the outside in this. There's so much. One thing I really noticed about this main event, there's garbage everywhere. Like,
they're throwing a lot of shit at DX.
There's so much shit, but still, at one point in time, when Sergeant Slaw was thrown over the guardrail in the boot camp match, he comes back, he's rotten. He's just dirt all over him. It's like, this crowd is the dirtiest motherfucker.
So maybe
ever.
They were right about Springfield and Simpsons.
I was going to say, were they actually in Springfield and the Simpsons? This just seems like Springfield territory.
I got to get this across before we finish off this match, but agree or disagree, Tyler, is this Shawn Michaels' best gear ever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. This, and I'm partial to the Baby Blue and Black.
SummerSlam 95.
Yeah.
Ladder
those
match.
Two. Those two are my favorite. My two ultimate favorites. The DX one, though, does come on top because it doesn't have stupid fucking hearts on it.
Warzone 97.
Yeah.
Warzone. Yeah. Warzone. Yeah. That was his predominant attire. And it was like one of my first exposures to Shawn Michaels of seeing that. That and Ground Zero, right?
That's also
I've
crazy.
About that enough. Go tune into that episode.
It's also crazy where on that Warzone game, you've got Shawn Michaels in his DX attire that he never wore while Bret Hart was in the company, and Bret Hart's in the game. It's like, whoa.
And Bulldog.
Yeah, and Bulldog, too. Yeah. Neidhart was probably gone at that point in time when the game came out, too, probably.
Neidhart was not in it.
Oh, he wasn't?
Owen, Bulldog, and Brett.
Right, and Owen was the black heart in the game, wasn't he?
Kane even got in there.
Kane did get in there. Yeah. I mean, we've had this conversation on the show before.
We have had this conversation at least three times.
I'm not going to say it again.
But.
Christmas. Shamrock runs a train on HBK. He then gets Irish whipped into the ropes, his head getting caught under, causing a whiplash-like effect. It was a little discerning seeing it. It was like, oh, fuck, that bet you that hurt just as hard as any of those UFC punches.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. It just felt bad for him. He would then reverse a Hurricane Rana into a powerbomb. Triple H would then lay a mini beating on him while the ref was distracted. And then this would lead us into the finish of the match. You want to tally away with
the finish of the match. I will start it off at Shamrock getting a sit-out powerbomb for two. Triple H pummeling Shamrock ringside, sending him back in while Sean and Earl reminisce over Montreal. We get a diving elbow on Shamrock. Shamrock hits the belly-to-belly when he gets up and goes for the ankle lock, but then Triple H and China get involved to prevent Shamrock from winning. And, well, he wins, but he wins via DQ.
He does. He does. And, you know, at least Shamrock doesn't have to take a pin. You can live to fight another day. It is what it is. But Shamrock would not get close to this title picture for a while.
Never.
Never again?
Never again.
Really?
Never again.
I didn't know that, actually. No, I assumed he would have taken on Austin at some point in time.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Wow. That's a shame. I mean, we all know why
Brett
he
was Shamrock's only chance at becoming world champion.
It was, too. Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's why they were buds.
Yeah, I mean,
Brett was like, you know what, Shamrock?
You sell those pills, but I like you. You're a good guy. You
sell those pills to my wife, Julie. I'll tell you know what? She only fucks me when I got a turkey on my dick, so it doesn't matter.
He's probably had a no-sell rule against Bulldog. Don't sell Bulldog. Bulldog's a mess.
He'll buy you out.
Spend his whole paycheck on pills. Apparently he wants to buy out his contract, go to WCW himself.
Pretty sure he spent that on pills already this year.
SummerSlam since this weekend. You know it. You know the story. He spent it all on pills. He's broke. Anyways. Enough.
The SummerSlam. SummerSlammed him.
I ruined it by saying SummerSlam. Post-match,
though.
Gotta
put the V in it,
man. You got to. You gotta preface it with the V.
The SummerSlam.
Post-match, Owen would come in, sending HBK flying into the announce
dressed
table.
Dressed like a crew member.
It was great, though. Yeah. He looked fantastic. And then just the veracity which he would jump onto Michaels.
And then, like, real stiff-looking shots. Yeah. Sean had a bloody nose after this.
Yeah, he did.
Makes me kind of glad that Owen might have, like, potatoed
him. Stiffed
him
a little bit for the whole Survivor Series.
I don't give a fuck. Owen, by the way, like, we briefly touched on a cut. An amazing promo on Raw 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Talking about how you can call me the sole survivor. You can call me whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But I'm the black heart. And yeah, it's an all-time great promo from Owen. And I'm so glad that we are covering the little bit of the black heart saga.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Like, I'm sure we'll return and do shows from 98. Just like, one-offs on like Federation on Shuffles and everything, but yeah, I'm glad to see this too. Like, I'd like to see more of like when he joins the Nation too.
It's the best.
Yeah,
when he joins the Nation, it's awesome.
Oh yeah, 100%. It really is. I think it's great. But yeah, that's D-Generation X, Travis. You want to do you know the card of what we're doing? Host Party 98, or I can do it. I got it right here.
You should do it because I don't know which one we're doing.
Oh, fair enough. We are up next. Whew. It's the first show of 1998. It is ECW House Party. It takes place in January of 98. The card is as follows, and honestly, seems like a great card. Six-man tag team Axel, Rotten, Balls Mahoney, and Tommy Dreamer take on the FBI, which considers Little Guido, Tommy Rich, and Tracy Smothers.
Whew.
That should just be fun.
fun.
Yeah, the six guys that got there are great characters, and then little Guido and Tommy Dreamer can do the wrestling. Done. Jerry Lynn and Chris Candido. Gran Hamada versus Gran Naniwa.
Gran Nanada?
No, it's N-A-N-I-W-A.
Oh,
okay. Al Snow takes on Amish Roadkill. Just Incredible takes on the Great Suzuki. Rob Van Dam takes on Bam Bam Bigelow. Taz takes on Too Cold Scorpio, under contract by the WWF. The Dudley Boys take on the Gangsternators. And then in the main event, Stairway to Hell match, the Sandman takes on Sabu.
I've heard about Stairway to Hell matches.
I've seen it. I've downloaded it off of Kazaa. So, I mean, like, I'm familiar with it. Pretty excited. But you can hear that music in the background. That can mean only one thing.
Time to break it down.
Time to break it down. Let's get the fuck out of here. You can follow the show and myself on Twitter at The Federation. You can follow Travis on Twitter
at Fudging Up.
Facebook and Instagram is The Federation Podcast. T-shirts at whatamaneuver.net. And you become a member of the Fudge family by joining our PayPal. You'll get to listen to the show live, just like the members of the Patreon got to do tonight. And we'll be back live again next Tuesday at 7. Are we?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe Tuesday, maybe Thursday. Maybe Thursday will become our new night. Who knows? Thursday, I'm not opposed to it. Thursday. Thursday FUD Thursday. Sounds like a rhyme to me. So with that being said, keep on rocking Free World and
do 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 do
do do. You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're